You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Tom Allen. He's in L.A., and it's very early in the morning. Tom, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Tom, let's talk about what you're doing now in L.A. What are you currently involved in?
All kinds of things. In the studio right now, I've been working on a lot of portraiture, some commissioned portraiture, which is a very new aspect to my work. I'm also in the very beginning stages of some new, more kind of experimental projects. One is involved with perfume, and the other is a book project that I'm just now starting. Both are kind of in the very early sort of stages, so there's not too much to talk about there, but I am very excited about them both.
Well, that sounds great. Well, I mean, I want to talk about them, but I understand they're in the early stages. Can you tell me a little bit about what's happening with the perfume or what that's about, or is it too early to talk about that?
It's an idea that I've had for a long time. It's kind of a little dream. I've always wanted to work with scents and have scents that correspond to my paintings. And so initially I was going to teach myself perfumery, classic kind of artist idea, and do it myself, but that proved to be somewhat daunting. And so I've found a perfumer that I might be able to work with who's interested in the project. And I don't know what form it will take quite yet. Right now we're just working on some samples, and then we'll see where it goes. But it's an idea that I had, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, and so it's finally starting to happen, so that's super exciting.
My initial idea is
that it'd be some kind of addition, huh?
That is exciting, yeah. I mean, in addition, because, you know, still, I feel like of all the mediums used that visual artists kind of experiment with, perfume or smell, or it seems to still be underused, or I don't hear about it much. Do you? I mean, other than kind of fantasies and movies like Harold and Maude or something, you know. I just saw that recently the other night. That's why I mentioned it. You know, she has this kind of smell machine that right, she shares, but it's not used much as a medium, is it?
I'm sure some people are using it. I've been interested in it for a long time, and you know, I think initially my idea to connect it to my work as a painter came from Huysmans, from the book Aurobor, and that was kind of the sort of starting point for trying to integrate it into my practice. But my practice is, I've always been interested in occult correspondences and sensory data in general, and so it's just always been something that I've, you know, thought through in the work itself in various ways, and the chance to kind of make it literal and do work with fragrance itself is super exciting.
And why was that book so pivotal in that decision?
I guess I would describe that book as just being sort of my fantasy life, you know, like if I were a, you know, debauched aristocrat, that is the life that I would lead, probably. Surrounded
well,
by...
in a way you are, right? Are an artist kind of debauched aristocrats? I mean, there's some connection.
We don't always have the titles and the means, but yes, I think that's why that book is often... So beloved by artists.
That's really interesting. And so these commissions, I mean, I want to perhaps go talk a little bit about the occult and other relationships there, but you said you were also working on commissions for the first time, portraits. Are those, how is that? Are those straight portraits or?
I don't know that I would say that they're straight necessarily, but they are, they it is important that they function as portraits, and I became interested in them through another body of work that I had done in 2010 that was called Summerlands, and That was an exhibition that I had at Richard Tejas Fine Art, and the centerpiece of that exhibition was these sort of driftwood paintings, and I thought of them as being sort of portraits of these sort of pieces of driftwood, and I was interested in kind of taking them to the edge of the anthropomorphic, and part of my idea was that the driftwood was a place where the inside became the outside, and that was connected to this sort of Summerlands idea that came from Andrew Jackson Davis, who was a 19th century spiritualist, and he theorized that when people passed away, they went to this place called the Summerlands, which was an outer space, literally for him, and where spirit and matter were sort of reversed, that spirit became matter and matter became spirit. It was sort of a parallel universe to ours, and I thought of the driftwood as being kind of a way to get at that idea and think through some kind of basic sort of things that happen in painting, especially representational painting. And then eventually, you know, having had the show and sort of thought through some of these ideas in that work, I was like, well, you know, why don't I just do actual portraits? Like, what would that be like? What could I get out of that? And so I started making them with my images of myself and my partner. And then from there, I started painting friends, and then people started asking me, and so it's become part of my practice.
And that's interesting. So to step back a little bit and look at your whole practice, you're in LA, and just fill in the blanks, you're represented also by a gallery in LA, and are you teaching as well there?
I'm no longer working with the gallery that I was with, but I am teaching. Yeah, I teach at USC, where I work with undergrads, and I also teach at Art Center College of Design, where I work with the graduate students.
So is this part of, is the portraits then also part of, you're already making a living, but it's part of your practice financially as well as conceptually, it sounds like, that people are commissioning portraits.
Yeah, it just sort of happened that way. That wasn't initially my plan. It was just sort of an idea that it was interesting to me. And then, you know, when people start asking you to do something and they're willing to pay for it and it's interesting to you, then, you know, why not?
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the occult and how you got involved in that as subject matter and, you know, broaden that definition if I'm being too narrow with that words. But what initially got you involved in that as it related to your studio practice?
It's something that I was always kind of interested in, or when people ask me, I say, well, it was something that was always sort of around for me. Initially, in terms of my practice, I became interested in bringing it into my practice.
But wait a minute. Before you say that, what does that mean, always around to you? Did you grow up with thinking about that, or parents that were...
Not parents, but just it was always sort of an interest or something that sort of spoke to me, or that, you know, that's what I mean. It was always sort of around, you know. I don't necessarily, wasn't that articulate about it until a certain point in my life, but it was something that always sort of interested me, and just sort of that I kind of sort of was felt was part of my experience of the world. And when I was in graduate school, I was studying German Romanticism, and that was a model for the work that I was doing, and my interest in the esoteric sort of kind of dovetailed with that. And then at a certain point around 2002, 2003, I decided to really kind of make it part of the subject matter of the work, or make it part of the work in a very sort of obvious kind of way.
So let's talk about those first works and what happened when you began forming those. What were those first works that kind of brought that out in a sense, or where you began using that?
Well, there were a couple things. One was a kind of series of drawings that were based on grimoires, which are these sort of spell book would be a kind of dumb way to say it. And they were just kind of images of the title pages, or oftentimes in grimoires you have diagrams like magic circles or charts of, you know, different kinds of ways of presenting information. And so I kind of approached it in that way by looking at these texts And then they have a whole interesting history, or pseudo history sometimes. Some of them we're not really sure when they were actually written or by whom. Or, and so I kind of, you know, I think with artists, it's like when you want to sort of understand something or you want to sort of have something, you copy it. That's like the first stage that artists tend to go through. And so I was making these drawings, almost kind of weird. I thought of them as weird, like Alan Rupersberg kind of drawings from these texts, and they were integrated with these paintings that many of the paintings had, like, there would be like a botanical painting with flowers and things, but the flowers would have different astrological correspondences that would be part of how I constructed the painting. And those were the sort of early works where I kind of brought in this subject matter, although I had been studying it for quite a while. And my practice is very sort of research-based in that way. Like, I often sort of really delve into an interest or sort of becomes part of my life first, and then I sort of find a way to bring it into the work that kind of makes sense for the work, and then the work will change direction.
And when did the work change the direction after that? Or, I mean, that was something that has consistently stayed with you in your work, right? Or when would you think the next big shift happened?
It definitely has stayed consistent in my work. And, you know, what tends to happen with the work is that there'll be a shift and something will be incorporated, and then eventually something else will kind of join it or it'll change direction. And I think, you know, the next big shift for me was that kind of Driftwood show that I talked about earlier, and then with the portraits and some of the newest work that's very influenced by Art Nouveau Glass and other things is the next kind of stage. And, you know, this current body of work, including the portraiture and these other things, I first started making the portraits in 2011, and I've really been doing them seriously just for a couple years now. And, you know, other sort of mundane things, you know, we moved and I have a new studio, and that's really changed the work. And, you know, it's a practice, and things come in and things sort of evolve. And, you know, my practice has always kind of been like that.
Sure. Now, the portraits seem to me, in a way, a very different subject matter, I guess the best way to say it, in terms of, but correct me if I'm wrong, because in terms of understanding, you know, your involvement with these, with issues like the occult and other research that you're doing, the portraits seem quite different, or are they also part of that thinking and process, and if so, how?
They definitely are part of that thinking and process. How? Sort of hard to say. I mean, with the Driftwood things, part of my idea was that I was interested in kind of, which is a super romantic idea of like kind of getting at like the life force or thinking about, you know, like the soul in a way, you know, and the idea of the Summerlands as a place where what we think of as being sort of material or rather what we think of as being sort of immaterial or spiritual kind of becoming some kind of other material in this other place, you know, a portrait is kind of like that in a weird way. It's like you're not just representing what someone looks like, or at least in the way that I've been thinking about it, but also you're trying to get at some other thing. You know, it's like your idea of the person and their idea of themselves, how they present themselves, and the portraits themselves, you know, they'll often have flowers or other things happening in the backgrounds that sort of push your reading of the person in a different way, and so it is sort of connected. It's like, you know, with studying the esoteric, it's like you're looking at these sort of patterns that aren't really obvious, or, you know, the cult means hidden. It's hidden, you know, it's like it's there, but it's not, you know, right on the surface. You have to sort of use this other kinds of tools or other kind of intelligence to get at it. And the process of making the portraits is sort of very similar. And the commissioned ones, oddly enough, even more so, because you're sort of, you know, divining something that needs to, you know, come about through this kind of relationship. And it's the relationship is, you know, having studied these grimoires and so the material, you know, this relationship of the commissioned portrait, it really is a pact with, like, another spirit. And, you know, you're manifesting that in a way. And so it is very connected to these other ideas, although it didn't seem to be on the face of it, I guess.
That makes sense, though. You know, and I think that is kind of appropriate and articulate, a way of kind of divining, the soul or what's hidden within a portrait. This idea of Summerlands seems like something that you come back to. It's such a beautiful phrase and an odd phrase, and sounds like where we'd all like to be.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what the whole image is like out there. But it sounds like Shangri-La, paradise, the other side, or in a way a little less dramatic than that. Summerlands just seems to be like the place where beautiful memories are, or something. Is that a recurring theme in your thinking? This notion of which is really kind of like the same idea as heaven, isn't it? Or is that distinct from heaven, this Summerlands?
It's different. I mean, it's somewhat similar. I don't know that it's necessarily based on good deeds, the way that we commonly think of heaven being. And for Andrew Jackson Davis, it wasn't actual plays. And it was in outer space. It was very, what I liked about his idea is that it was very literal. It was a materialization of a sort of idea that's more abstract for most people, even in the 19th century. And I think part of the appeal of it for me was that it was very connected to what a painting can do. It sort of makes these sort of latent things manifest, and it's always a surface, but it's also a space, and it's a kind of literalization of something that wasn't material before, and I think that the Summerlands idea is connected to that for me, and that's why it sort of continued to be a kind of, thought in my work, even though that particular series, was very specific, and it was a very particular type of show that was revolved around this series, which was a new kind of thing for me. That idea has still kind of been a part of my thinking, and it was, one of those kind of starting points for this new direction for my work, and so it's still in my thoughts.
And it's interesting the way you summarized it. Summerlands is a place where matter and energy are reversed. Was that what you were saying?
Yeah, his idea was that the spirit became material in Summerlands, and that what we think of as material became spirit or immaterial there. So it's a kind of reversal of our experience here on Earth.
It's a fascinating idea, right? In outer space, it's so somewhere that's like on a planet or off a planet, or
it's kind of out there. I think it was. I don't remember the specifics of it because I was reading that stuff, in like 2009, 2010. I think it was in the asteroid belt, actually. Andrew Jackson Davis, he was a kind of classic American spiritualist, and this material was sort of what we would say channeled, It was kind of got directly by sort of tapping into the spirit world, This is the period of table turning and seances, and that's how he got to this material.
That's interesting, and if this isn't too much of a stretch, and just stop me if it is, isn't making art and making paintings a type of channeling, so to speak, or no?
Yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily put it that way, but yeah, I don't think that's...
Well, no, nobody talks about it that way. That sounds a little odd, but this notion of, like the way the Gospels were written, or Seth books, or these other kinds of authors that say things are coming through them, things are being channeled through them, like another voice is coming through them. Do you think that applies visually?
Artists are people who make things that didn't exist before, and it came from somewhere, and that's always interested me. I mean, the creative act always has that kind of element. I mean, some artists wouldn't necessarily think about it or talk about it that way, but I think, at a sort of dumb level, it's like, there's something that never existed before, and you're bringing it here. you know, whatever.
Well,
that
yeah,
means
I think most artists won't talk about it that way. But even, you know, poets and writers, I mean, don't you think, you know, and I've interviewed poets and I don't talk to them about this directly, but the idea of, you know, writing down a poem coming to you, you know, my experience in writing and making work is not that everything is this pre-planned experience. It does seem to kind of come the moment I'm writing almost, right? Just like the words that I'm forming now are sort of coming right out of my mouth, even though I haven't written down all these notions.
Yeah. I mean, that's my experience too. And you know, writing and poetry are also, you know, a big interest of mine and do feed the work in a different way. And I'm not a writer, but I have done some writing and published some writing. And, you know,
and how does the poetry feed your work? What's your relationship with poetry in that sense?
I think poetry is a really great model for art and for me as someone who identifies as a painter, for painting especially, because it is the most concise and yet most evocative kind of form of writing, right? And so it's very condensed but very rich kind of form. And I think that, you know, for me, what I look for from artworks and especially from painting, and what I, you know, would like my paintings to be is that kind of experience. You know, it's like you read something, it's a few stanzas, but this whole, like, you know, world can open up and you know, through these very particular, you know, you don't have that many words, but you have to get them to do so much. And that's, you know, I want my paintings to kind of have that quality. And this sort of, you know, like I said, it's like this evocative, you know, it's so much in poetry happens through like suggestion or allusion or, you know, it's not expository in the way that that prose often is. And I like that about it.
I do too. In Tom, it's been great talking to you. In closing, there are people who are listening to this that'll, you know, of course, go to the links on your website that are included with this and other things. Is there anywhere else you want to send people? I don't know if you're having shows coming up or there's even resources you want to direct people to, but is there anything in particular you want to leave us with?
I don't remember what I sent you back in the day, but I don't know if Clavis is part of that, but one of the things I've been working on that kind of ties a lot of these interests together is a esoteric journal called Clavis Journal, and I have been the art director for the journal, and that's a project that kind of brings a lot of my interests together, and so that's a place that people could check out.
And just to go a little bit further on that, so Clavis Journal, right, we didn't really discuss at all how people can access that through a link. Is it also a print edition? How does that work?
Yeah, it's an actual journal. It's printed. And the website is clavisjournal.com. And it is a project initially that was started between Three Hands Press and Ouroboros Press. And it's an esoteric journal. I've been the art director, and it's what interests me about it and why I'm excited to be involved in it is a sort of place where a lot of these kinds of, you know, we do feature work of artists who are kind of working in the esoteric realm. Many of these artists are also practitioners, almost all of them, I would say. And so it is a kind of place
I don't want to interrupt you, but practitioners meaning what exactly?
People who work with the esoteric, people who are work with magic or witchcraft or
right.
You know, that kind of practitioner. And, you know, it's interesting to me because it's a place sort of outside of the art world as we tend to think of it, where all of these ideas can kind of come together. And so it's exciting for me, you know, as a kind of research-oriented person to sort of be involved in that and to lend my kind of aesthetic expertise to that and kind of connect with a whole other community of artists. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. Tom, thanks so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.